Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Lily Kay is a Milwaukee-raised Chicago songstress who started performing in her early years through church and elementary school choirs. She's an alum of Milwaukee High School of the Arts, where she studied classical, opera, and jazz vocals, followed by an education in arts, entertainment, and media management from Columbia College in Chicago.
Lily has used her lifelong passion of music to rise in Chicago's music scene. She's been featured on an array of albums and projects with artists such as Chance the Rapper, and has released a number of EPs and her first full album, Ruby, in 2015.
Lily stopped by the Lake Effect studio ahead of a performance to talk with Audrey Nowakowski about her music, influences, and career.
Lily Kay, thank you so much for coming on to Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me.
You are referred to with titles such as the Jazz Aristocrat, Chicago Songstress, and you were titled first Rising Artist. That was featured on their website when it first came out, which is super exciting. But as you build your music career, what do you ultimately want to be known for?
That's a great question. I mean, I make music because I love to, not necessarily because I want any type of fame or notoriety for it. I think it's more so about sharing this music and this love for it and this good feeling that comes with it. The best type of feedback or the best feeling I've ever gotten, the best response I've ever gotten for my music is when people tell me it's impacted them in a positive way. Like I've had fans tell me that they've left abusive relationships because of certain songs, which is insane to
me. That's great, yeah.
So it's definitely knowing I can do something positive with my music at whatever scale I manage to get to. That's kind of what I want to do with music.
And your music and collaboration span from soulful styles to throwback jazz, even hip-hop and R&B. Mm-hmm. So who were your musical influences growing up? And what did you sing and study here in Milwaukee?
Man, so much music. I definitely came up with a lot of Motown. My mom played so much, like Gladys Knight and the Jackson 5, and really just tons of Motown in the house. Of course, there was always the gospel influence as well when I sang in like church choirs when I was younger. And then it was really when I discovered jazz while going to Roosevelt Middle School of the Arts here in Milwaukee that it kind of, my voice made sense to me, because I don't have this big booming voice that I've always admired in gospel and old R&B and soul. And so hearing jazz, it kind of made me look at my voice differently and helped me to access it and use it and utilize it to my advantage. So I think hearing jazz was kind of the moment that really changed my life as far as being a singer, because I could understand what I had to work with pretty
right.
much. So yeah, I mean, my influences, though, they range from everywhere. You know, there's also the like Steely Dan classic rock, and then of course like Tribe Called Quest and amazing hip hop like Outkast, and man, just there's so much music that has just seeped into me, and there's so much every day. Like there's so many phenomenal artists that like we'll never even hear because there's so many, and how do we even get to everybody? So I'm always on a quest to kind of find a new listening pleasure to learn from.
Well, and to expand with your own music.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Place into your songs and expand your reach. So what kind of, you mentioned in middle school you've really found your voice. So let's go to high school. You were also still in Milwaukee, at Milwaukee High School of the Arts. What sort of musical styles did you study and learn to meld your voice into there? And did that solidify even more what you wanted to do?
Yeah, definitely. Arts education has the ability to really guide a person, whether they want to go into arts or not. It just kind of gives you this foundation and this option, this different way of thinking that more is possible. And that's the biggest thing I think I learned through studying at arts. But, you know, as far as the training went, I did classical, I did opera, I did jazz, we learned music theory, I worked with different jazz combos. So there was a huge variety, and you weren't like pigeonholed into you have to do this one thing. You kind of were exposed to everything, and you got to pick what your focus was going to be. So it definitely gave you the tools that, you know, anybody who wants to pursue music really needed.
And hanging on to the Milwaukee theme, although you are Chicago-based now, you did come up to Milwaukee to film your music video for a song called Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy, you're like a book of poetry.
Alone excite me. It features spots from all around, from Greenfield to other libraries, and it's kind of like a throwback declaration of love because you're kind of in a costume piece. Mm-hmm. Why did you want to feature Milwaukee for the song, and why did you want to take it back to the 50s, 60s style?
You know, Milwaukee's my hometown, and a lot of people always call me a Chicago artist, but as much as I can, I try to represent Milwaukee because it's where I'm from. And so when we were doing the Tommy video, we were thinking of just kind of old retro-looking spots, and there happens to be tons of those in Milwaukee. So we just found, we did a lot of location scouting and found areas that just kind of worked really well together. Like the library scene was done at UWM. I think it was on like the fourth floor of their library where all the bookshelves are still these like 60s colors. A little town, I think it was in Greendale or Greenfield. It was one of the suburbs out there, right by Southridge Mall.
Okay.
Never knew it existed. And my dad told me about it, and we went and explored when we were doing scouting. And it's just like stuck in the past, and it's so cool. So we ended up including that in the video. The outdoor scenes, a lot of them were done in my grandparents' backyard. So it's really cool to just be able to put so much of your hometown and yourself into your music. And then just my sound in general, especially on the Ruby project, is a bit more throwback. And so it just kind of made sense to go with that aesthetic. We weren't necessarily trying to pretend that we were in a different era, but it was just heavily inspired by it. Mm-hmm. So it was just fun playing dress up and all of us wearing these like matching vintage dresses and all the boys in suspenders, and it was really fun.
And your music videos span from black and white silhouettes in Forgive Me to a diner that is shot in one continuous take, kind of Tarantino influence, and Pour Some Sugar. Are you the key deciding factor in how you want your music videos to look? And how do you come up with a look and a story arc with a song if you want to make a video to go along with it?
I am so involved when it comes to my videos. Actually, the only video that I wasn't involved with directing was Forgive Me, the black and white visual. And that was actually one that Tidal directed. They wanted to put that together. So it was Tidal and Roc Nation that kind of came in and wanted to do a video for me. And that's the song they picked. But all of the other ones, Support Some Sugar, I Don't Want You No More, Tommy, even older videos like Interlude, I pretty much write out the treatments for those. And then I have an amazing video team, Addison Wright and Jay Frank, and I present my ideas to them and they help me bring them to life. So we'll go through kind of my ideas. I'll put a whole storyline together. I'm really organized with my videos. I'll send reference shots and all this. And then they'll help me fill in the blanks and help me think of cool ways to film and to make these ideas really come to life on camera. And I don't know, I love the visual aspect of it. It's just so much fun, and it allows you to convey what you had in mind for the song. Like when you made it, when you listened to it, this is kind of what you think it looks like. So it's really fun to do videos and kind of let your imagination run wild.
And do you picture a video from the start of a new song that you're writing?
Sometimes, yeah. Other times I have to think about it for a little bit. But yeah, there's some songs that I even have a video idea for first, and then I'll kind of write a song around this video idea. But yeah, and not always, of course. Some songs I don't think even need visuals, are just kind of their statements in themselves. But it's really fun to finally add visuals to the perfect song.
You mentioned you try to reference Milwaukee as much as possible because many people affiliate you with Chicago, but you also move there primarily for more opportunities in the music scene compared to here. And, you know, it's obviously paid off and you've collaborated with many artists, you know, such as the likes of Chance the Rapper and some other Chicago hip-hop and R&B groups. And it seems like you've all supported one another, like even before anyone got big, say, in particular. But what kind of collaborations have you enjoyed the most, and how do they let you partake in and explore different music that maybe you wouldn't have pursued on your own or just were curious about and wanted to integrate in some way?
Well, what's really cool about collaborating is it allows you to do those genres that you wouldn't really dabble in your solo artistry. I think my favorite collaborations have been with actually my two favorite Chicago bands. One is Sidewalk Chalk, and the other is the Jeff Gibbs Quartet. And they're both kind of these jazz, fusion, soul, hip-hop groups. And I have different collaborations with both of them. With the Jeff Gibbs Quartet, we did a cover of Latch by Sam Smith and Disclosure. And it's so cool. It's just this really jazzy, fun avant-garde. The time signature switches. It's really awesome. And then the song with Sidewalk Chalk was a completely original song called Glad, and it's just about kind of being happy for the little things, appreciating the small things in life, and letting those get you through the hard times. And they've been one of my favorite bands since I moved to Chicago. I saw them perform, and I was just obsessed with them. And it's amazing to actually be friends with them and collaborators with them now and share the same stages and be on the same shows and have a song together. It's amazing. There's a phenomenal music scene in Milwaukee here and in Chicago, so I'm really happy that I get to be a part of both of those.
And in a part of the music scene and just all these new groups that are coming up, as you mentioned, there's so many that you might not even hear of some, and the power that social media and the internet has today to boost people up even with one song. Mm-hmm. But you still remain the key decider and producer when it comes to your music, and you chose not to sign on to contracts so far. So why did you make that decision, and what components are most important to you in the music business that you trust yourself the most with and not some other producing company?
My music, 100%. It's my music at the end of the day, and I don't want anybody else to own it. Signing to a label can be really tricky, and it's definitely beneficial for some artists. Some artists don't need it at all. I think I would totally benefit from signing to a label, but it has to be the right deal. It has to be the right time. It's not something that should ever be rushed into, which is where a lot of careers end up failing, is because you rush into this deal where they own everything and then they don't like the music you're making, so you get shelved and you can't do anything. And it's just so heartbreaking because I've seen it happen to so many good artists. So I just want to hold on to it for as long as I can until the perfect partnership kind of comes along. But yeah, it's all about the music. I never want to be told I can't make this or I have to make this, because that's not why I do this. It's not, you don't tell me what to do. I'm making the music that I want to make with my band and the way we want to do it. It's not necessarily to be radio hits or to do millions of numbers. It's just the music we want to make. The tricky part is figuring out how to market that music and how to get it out when you don't have a big machine behind you. But it's definitely worth it, because at least you get to keep doing what you love and music doesn't turn into this day job that you end up hating. I never want to hate music. And so that's one of the reasons I'm so holding on to it so tightly.
Well, and you also take your time in producing what music comes out, and your latest full-length album, Ruby, came out last spring.
Yep.
And you've released a few EPs before then with various producers such as Peter Cottontail and various partnerships. But what's in the works now? What kind of new sound can we expect? And what did you learn in creating Ruby that you want to apply lessons to come next projects?
What was really awesome about Ruby was that I produced it by myself. So I didn't have any extra producers that came in. I had my band, of course, that played with me, and they're phenomenal. But yeah, I did it all myself on a very limited out-of-pocket budget. So we recorded the whole thing musically in maybe 5 days. I did vocals then a little bit longer than that. But I definitely learned so, so much through producing, like how to listen for drum patterns, how to listen to, okay, should there be a guitar solo here? Should we add horns to this song? Oh, maybe we should add live strings here. You just think about things so much differently, as opposed to when I was only focused on my vocals and thinking of that. Now I'm thinking of the whole picture. So I simplified my vocals a lot. I wanted everything to kind of be one, as opposed to this is my vocals and this is the band and they're separate. No, it's all one entity. So it was really amazing to learn that and apply it to this new music that my band and I are now working on. We have so many written, 5 songs recorded. We've kind of thrown genre out the window with this one. The band and I are all writing from scratch together. Ruby was kind of songs I'd been sitting on that I had written for a while, and they kind of helped fill them in. But these ones mean more to everybody involved because we all wrote them from scratch. So you can tell there's more love and there's more effort put in, because it's not only my baby, it's like everybody's baby now. But it's so much fun. We're really challenging ourselves and pushing ourselves to just be better We're not confining ourselves to any boxes, which is really fun. It still takes me some time. I'm like, oh, this sounds so pop. I'm like, okay, I have to break it down. No, I don't care if it sounds like this. Because as we record, a lot of times it'll start off sounding one way. And as we keep going, it just transforms into this whole other song. So I'm really, really excited to hear how everything turns out.
Yeah. Well, I certainly look forward to having you and the band back next time. I know yes. We weren't able to arrange that this time, but I hope your time in Milwaukee and your upcoming show goes well. And
thank you.
I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Milwaukee native Lily Kay is a jazz and soul vocalist and songwriter. She now lives and works in Chicago, but will be back at her hometown tomorrow evening for a performance at Milwaukee's Free Space Jazz Gallery.
She spoke with Audrey Nowakowski, and there's more information about Lily Kay and her upcoming concert and music at WUWM.com. Yeah, sugar, oh.